Ready, Master Control?
Ready, switch on.
The following is an encore presentation from WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Democratic presidential contenders are doubling down on health care for illegal aliens. Congress set on voting to increase the federal minimum wage is now pushing to increase the minimum wage for tipped employees. And the U.S. economy sees its longest expansion in American history.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
The U.S. economy is about to mark its longest expansion in history on July 1st after starting its recovery back in June of 2009. Carol, normally that makes you want to duck and cover. It's been going on for so long, it's got to end sometime soon. But with the way the Fed has presented itself, saying that, you know, they're going to try and keep another recession from happening, basically.
Fox Business News, Melissa Francis, good morning. It is 3 minutes after 8 a.m. I'm your host, Ed Dean, 831-0600, 904-831-0600. The longest economic expansion in U.S. history as of July the 1st. Can this continue to last? If not, is it just cyclical? What is your view on this? But also, the Democrats say, they're saying it as of this morning, the reason why we have this economic expansion.
Well, the economy's booming, and it's sort of continued after President Obama.
Donald Trump, despite his inauguration speech talking about doom and gloom, he inherited a quite healthy economy, and President Obama should take credit for that.
So when folks talk right now about, oh, the economy's doing so well, where do you think that started?
All right, 831-0600, 831-0600. My question to you is, the recovery started in June of 2009. Does President Obama deserve credit? Full credit, partial credit, none of the above. Does he deserve any type of credit for this current economic expansion? Yes, tell me the reasons why. No, tell me the reasons why. 831-0600. 831-0600. Let's start off with Mike. Hey, Mike, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Always a pleasure to talk to you, too.
Thank you, sir. Good. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
So I'm going to try to make this quick and be the fairest comment. As a registered independent, I didn't vote for Trump or Clinton. However, this next time around, I will be voting for Trump because, you know, you don't drink the party juice. Does Obama get some credit? Sure. Could you ever accurately quantify how it correlates to today's numbers? Probably never, but I don't have a problem if he gets some credit, but this definitely is a Trump economy. If Clinton won, it would not be the same. And I think that's just the fairest comment to make.
Mike, let me ask you a question. You said you're a registered independent. Tell me, let's do a prequel before you give me the sequel here. Tell me why you didn't vote for Trump. But I want to ask the reasons why you are now. But tell me why you didn't vote for Trump.
Sure. The most honest reason is because being from the New Jersey area and going to New York 1,000 times and knowing the bravado of Trump and having a daughter, in his past, I was a little turned off. So I was getting a little bit morally self-righteous, and I just didn't think he was worth the office of the presidency. But he has proven me wrong, and I'm just looking forward to voting for him.
All right. So what area did he prove you wrong? I mean, was there one or two issues that said, I mean, when did you decide to go across that red line? You sat back and said, you know, I think I'm going to vote for the president this time around.
His job, his economy performance and his foreign policy performance, I think he has demonstrated his capabilities to be a world leader. And I would say if he keeps us out of any new wars, especially with Iran and the economy still going, what else could you ask for in a president? And I like that he's unorthodox, and I like what he did with North Korea and the DMZ and walking over the line. I mean, that stuff can have a positive return that we can't even imagine yet. So, he's won me over, and that's it.
All right, Mike, I appreciate the call. Thank you so much for calling in. 831-0600, 831-0600. That's right. Republicans wrote the car in a ditch. I had to come and take it out. Didn't get the full car out of time, but I got it out of the ditch anyway. So my question is, 831-0600, the longest economic expansion. Democrats say, well, this is pretty much baked in, Roger, that the majority of people out there accredit President Obama for getting us out of that ditch. My question to you, Mike probably had a very good answer. You know, I don't have a problem with giving some, but the current economic expansion right now has nothing to do with Obama. My question to you, 831-0600, 904-831-0600. If the recession, if we avoided the Great Depression, cannot President Obama, here's a good trick question for some of you out there, could not President Obama be given some credit for helping us avert a Great Depression? Now, remember, we were told in September of 2008 that if he didn't pass the TARP, this country was ready to go into oblivion. It was gone. Remember that? It was gone. Gone. Remember, we were told that.
Yeah. Forever.
We passed, what, $400 or $500 of bailout for Wall Street. And then 4.5 months later, we were told by the Obama administration, no, no, no. Hey, we need to shovel out of jobs. We need to pass a stimulus package. So Michael,
cash for clunkers.
That's right. So we spent $1.4 trillion for 1.9% GDP growth rate because Obama did inherit a mess
of money we didn't have. We just added it to the debt.
Correct.
The deficit.
Now remember, I don't blame Obama for the Great Recession. He didn't cause the Great Recession. He inherited the Great Recession. My question to you at 831-0600: if you believe we avoided the there's now, folks. You got to take the partisan politics out of this. I have my own beliefs, but nobody cares about mine. I care about yours. If we avoided this economic expansion started in June of 2009. That's when the recession ended, according to the government's numbers out there. If we avoided a Great Depression, was it the TARP that did it, or was it Obama's stimulus, or was it both? Can President Obama be given any credit for getting the expansion at least kickstand? Boom, kick it up. We got the bike ready to go. Can he be given any type of credit, yes or no? Tell me why he deserves some credit, and tell me what area do you believe that he did help out the economy, or does he not deserve any credit, and tell me why. 831-0600, 831-0600. Also, before we get to the calls, another big news story that is hitting this morning. As you know, Congress, we covered this 2 weeks ago, Congress is set to vote on, after the 4th of July recess, Roger, Congress is set to vote on a minimum wage hike. They want to jack it up to $15 an hour. Now there's a new catch, folks. You ready for this? States, along with the congressional members, especially on the Democrat side, are now looking to eliminate the $2.13 federal minimum wage for servers. That's for tipped employees. They now favor $15 an hour minimum wage for servers, for tipped employees across the board. Fox News with that story.
To tip or not to tip? That is the question on the table. Calls to pay tipped workers a higher minimum wage. Heather Black could soon be seeing an increase in her hourly wage as Massachusetts and several other states are now considering the change. In Congress, Democrats are pushing to do so at the federal level. Restaurateurs are worried they'll have to jack prices. But some servers are worried they'll actually end up making less because diners could be less inclined to tip knowing they're making a higher hourly wage. In Massachusetts, servers on average already make $15 an hour with tips included, but Black hopes that tipping habits won't change. A UC Riverside study in April found that industry growth is slowing due to recent wage hikes. In a statement to Fox News, the Council of State Restaurant Association says the change can, quote, cripple small and family-owned restaurants, which already operate with slim single-digit margins.
Now, here's the question and the question. I'm talking about the economy now, about Obama getting credit. Now, let's announce the minimum wage. How many of you all follow the restaurant business? $2.31 is the federal minimum wage for tipped employees. That's servers. We're talking going to $15 an hour. My question to you at 831-0600, 904-831-0600. If you know that the server's making $15 an hour, will you tip less or will you tip more or not tip at all? And should they not be making $15 an hour? Will they pay less taxes making $15 an hour? Or do you think they'll pay more? Kind of a trick question right there. So now, this is the new thing. Congress wants to now put in place, after the 4th of July recess, now they want to go down the road of a $15 an hour minimum wage. Now the new promotion being inside that bill, and other states now looking to adopt it, is to eliminate the minimum wage for servers, which is like $2.31 mm-hmm. per hour. Now they automatically get $15 an hour. We're not talking from $2.31 to $6, not even talking $15 an hour. My question to you, when you hear that, what do you think, number one? Number two, is it time for servers to make more money? Number three, will you tip more or will you tip less? I'd like to hear your view. Go ahead, Roger.
Well, my thinking is the restaurant owner is going to have to pay that difference between the $2.30 and the $15 an hour.
That's huge.
Will they put a big sign at the restaurant saying this is a no-tipping restaurant, the wages of our wait staff have been incorporated into the price of your meal,
right,
and that will then give them justification to raise the prices on the menu?
All right. Many of you want to weigh in. 831-0600. We're going to get to your calls coming up next. All of you had plenty of time. Coming up next on Talk Radio WBOB.
On I-95 South at University, there has been a crash there. It's on the right, looking at traffic cams. The backup is moderate. At 10 East, beginning at Lane Avenue down to 95, traffic's heavy there. And at Butler Boulevard to the Intercoastal, there's a broken-down car causing backup that starts at Hodges.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to
get
lose.
Get a two-pack of MyPillow's premiums for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, which is the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or call 800-950-9024. Use promo code WBOB.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you know who was voted the Bold City's best plumber? Roland Reisch Plumbing. Here's why. Roland Reisch Plumbing promises great work on time and does it. The good news spreads fast. For all plumbing issues, large or small, you want the Bold City's best. Click plumberandjax.com. Your friends and neighbors have used them, and that's why they went to Jacksonville.com to vote Roland Reisch Plumbing Jacksonville's top plumber. 24/7, Roland Reisch Plumbing is standing by, whether it's routine work or a middle-of-the-night emergency. Just call 904-260-7059. If you have a leak, can't wait a week, please call Roland Reisch Plumbing at 904-260-7059. Roland Reisch Plumbing is proud to have been voted Bold City's best plumber. They intend to stay number one. Call 904-260-7059. Call 904-260-7059.
Partly cloudy, hot, and muggy for most of the day. By afternoon, we may get some rain. The high, 96. This evening, partly cloudy with a 1 in 10 chance of showers. 78 the low. Right now, 80 at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9. Dennis Prager at noon. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Florida Democrats want to spend $50 million on researching gun violence. New state school numbers show mixed results in standardized testing for Duval County public schools.
and Dunkin' Donuts are going after some of their franchise owners for hiring undocumented workers.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
All right, let's get to the calls. Many of you want to weigh in on this and other issues. Let's start off line one. Let's go to JC. JC, good morning.
Hey, you know, back in 2012 when Ron Paul was running for president, I was a delegate at the state of Georgia, and they had a broker convention. He got delegates, you know, towards the presidency. And one of the reasons he was so popular is that he had a program where he became president, all tips would not be taxed. And that was big in Georgia. We got a lot of wait staff that got involved in this campaign because of that. I mean, it's crazy, man. When I go in a restaurant, I give somebody a tip. If they do a good job, I give them $5. I said, man, do not put this on your taxes. You know, keep it yourself. Tips should not be taxed.
Wow. Advocate breaking the law, brother.
The only way you can do that is, I think, by giving cash. Because once you put it in your credit card, it's automatically going to be documented.
That's what I do. That's what I do. I pay cash. If they do, if it's good service, I pay in cash. It's like, please don't put this on your
tip. JC, that's kind of an interesting point about the tips in Georgia. That's a great point because it is a very service industry-oriented state out there. This is a realistic proposal out there. If you believe that, and again, I know you're not trying to hold it against the individual who's serving you, but if they're making $15 an hour, will you tip less or will you tip more or about the same?
I probably won't tip at all.
Really?
You know, unless it's real. Yeah, because $15 an hour? I mean, I think if you leave it up to tips, you could probably make more than that. You know, I waited for a short time. And if you give good service, you can make more than that an hour. I think the tip rate should go up. I mean, it should at least go up to $4 an hour, something like that. But $15 for wait staff, there's no incentive. That's like socialized service, you know?
Socialized service. That's a great one. JC, good to talk to you. Let me ask this before I start. I want to get to line three in a moment with Philip, 831-0600. Some of you have been emailing me this morning. I think like Dillard's and other stores pay a lot more higher wages for the employees. Some stores will pay commission. They'll pay more hourly, but they have to meet that quota.
Right.
Okay. So I'm kind of interesting. Are you driven more because you make more money per hour, or are you driven more because you can make more money per hour on a commission base? And I'm getting emails from servers out here this morning going, I'd love to make $15 an hour.
Really?
That's what they're telling me.
There has been a long time push now, going back years, of getting away from the tipping culture. And the biggest people protesting it have been waiters and waitresses because they realize how much more money they'd make than the restaurant owner paying them.
Let's go to Philip on line three. Philip, hey, good morning.
Good morning. Well, I think there's nothing more rewarding than beating the system when the system isn't unfair. So if they raised it that much and I were a small restaurant owner, I would just slightly reconfigure my restaurant in a way that you don't need wait staff anymore. And people, you just market it that way as we're keeping our prices either the same or lowering them a little bit and just reconfigure so people can come pick up their food from a window or whatever it is. And you still have the same great food. You still have everything accessible to people. People don't mind if they get a great meal to just get up and get their food. I mean, so you could actually market it as a differentiator and make it a positive and keep your, because it's really to raise somebody's wages that quickly without any kind of interim steps is not fair to the business owner.
You know, I was thinking while you were saying this, I do not eat at the Golden Corral because I eat healthier. All right. But having said that, let's say that you, went to the Golden Corral. Technically, you don't need a server for the Golden Corral because it's a buffet line, correct? So you kind of help yourself. Yeah. The young lady or young man will bring you over your tea. So is it you're saying that if we do that, pretty much? I'm thinking maybe it's the opposite, Philip. Instead of having maybe 5 or 6 servers, you may just knock it down to 1 or 2 servers. Or you think it's just going to eliminate it all?
Well, I just think you could. I'm not even talking about a buffet. I'm talking about a good, a regular restaurant with individual meals. They could just put it up in a window and you come get it instead of someone coming. All they do is go get it and bring it to you. All you have to do is get it yourself. You can't go in the kitchen.
Hold on. I don't think any good restaurant that you go to, Philip, is going to do that because of quality customer service.
I think that if somebody marketed it the right way and had the right setup where you could just get it right from a window where you see it when it comes up, it's still the same fine food. Now, it's going to have to take a little getting used to, but if you know that restaurant, you've been there for years, and you go stand up and get the food that tastes just as well and you're saving a bunch of money, hey, everybody wins. I mean, it's too bad for the wait staff. That's how you show the system that they can't just force you to do something stupid for your business.
I mean, I
like Phillip's idea.
No, it will not work. You want I understand where Phillip's coming from. Okay, go after the system. I'm with you on that. Having said that, you go to a fine restaurant, you go to a fish restaurant, a fish house, people want to be served. When they go to a lunch, they don't have to do any more work than they have to. You tell the company, hey, by the way, you got to go up and get, I mean, some restaurants, yes, you can do that. But you got to go up and get your own food and your own stuff. I'm telling you something, that company will lose business. It's customer service, okay? And a lot of it has to do with customer service. If you got to make me go up and get my own food, why would I want to go to that restaurant then? I go there. So
Is it worth $5 to $10 to walk to the window and maybe they give you a code to enter to make sure it's your meal?
Roger, you're on a date or you're with some friends or some church or you got elderly people. Elderly people are not getting up to get their food, folks. All right? I'm just telling you that's just the way it is. Some things will never change, Bruce Hornsby. All right? A song from 1988. Some of you will get that. No, I was like two. But anyway, so I don't know if I buy into that. I don't know if I go into that. Let's go to Brian. Brian, do you agree with the last caller?
Hey, yeah, the last caller actually had a point. I think you're conflating it. There's definitely a difference between fine dining, but you're telling me at a Sonny's you wouldn't want to cut out that $5 or $8 tip like Roger was saying and just do it yourself.
Well, I said fine. You have a good point about Sonny's.
Yeah, and then the thing is this is what it's going to do. I mean, the server's going to screw themselves if they push this because you're just going to have like Grubhub or Uber server. And they'll be half of the restaurant, and all they do is outsource it. You know, you and some 1099 person can have that dining experience. But a person like me who can't stand the obligated tip to watch my glass go empty when I'd just much rather go refill it, you know, I choose places like that now where I can go and order and get a number and just refill my own tea and not, you know, face the implied 15 to 20%. For something that I could do better and quicker myself.
Or is it possible you go get your own tea because maybe the service is not quick enough?
Well, that's it, and it's an implied tip. You know, I mean, I feel bad if I ever get below 15% if they're somewhat trying and polite. But I'd certainly rather just go up and refill my drink two or three times throughout the meal.
All right, but hold on. You're talking about Sonny's, which I like Sonny's, by the way. I'm talking about most restaurants. People, when they go on a Friday or Saturday or Sunday after church, they do not want to have. I'm going to give you a quick example. Remember the story we covered last week? A black family was all ticked off because they got moved to the private dining room.
At Ruth's Crisp.
At Ruth's Crisp.
Yeah.
And they go there quite often because they
allegedly.
Right, allegedly. But I'm saying if you tell those individuals that are going to that back, oh, by the way, you got to go up and get your own food and your own drink. You thought that was bad that they were being ignored, not allowed into the dining. Now you got to tell them to go up and get their own food and stuff.
Ruth Chris is expensive, that I can save, you know, 15, 20 bucks on the tip. I'd be happy to get
no
my own
way.
Meal.
People do not want it. People go to a restaurant because they want to enjoy the experience, not have to go to work. If they wanted to go to work, they'd make their own food.
Going to work is having to, you know, do math on what, you know, 15, 20% comes out through this order.
All right, listen, 83106 Art, make some sense out of all this conversation, brother.
I agree with you. I don't want to go to a restaurant to be an employee.
But isn't it work, though? What's more work? Walking a couple of steps to go get your plate or having to
go ahead, Art.
Or having to do math on what comes out
go
to
ahead, Art, make some sense
I go,
of this.
I go out to enjoy, to have a meal with my wife or my family. I mean, some of the restaurants, your Golden Corral analysis, who's going to clean the tables?
That's a great point.
Okay, good point there.
I mean, so there's you know, the busboys and stuff like that. I think that they probably do need to raise that minimum wage a bit, slightly. I also disagree with the bottom line. My mom, I grew up with my mom. She owned three restaurants, bar and grills up on the East Coast, up in Pennsylvania. And food restaurants, you can make loads of money. They wouldn't be in the business if they weren't making loads of money.
But Art, they say that the profit margin in some cases is only around 7 to 8%.
I disagree with that.
Really?
Yeah, I disagree with that. Like I said, my mom, I mean, we
she was turning cash flow big time. You're buying wholesale stuff, so everything you're buying is in bulk. Basically, you're at Costco's, and you're just, you know, it's I think it's more than that, or they wouldn't be in the business.
Hey, Art, is your last name of the deal?
Excuse me?
Is your last name of the deal? Get it, Art of the Deal?
Am I Art of the Deal?
That's right. You sound like you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I like that. I some of you caught the joke. I like Art's. I think Art, that's one of the best calls I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I go to a restaurant not to be an employee. I love it. He agrees with me. That's
one
all
of the,
he had to say.
One of the things I love about cruises is when I go on them, I haven't been on one in years now, is that you don't have to sit and calculate what the tip is. Everything's all inclusive. You don't even think about the
Roger,
price. They bring your meal.
If you had to calculate what the tip is, you probably wouldn't go on the cruise because it's already fixed then.
Yeah, exactly. Everything's, you know.
Oh,
I consider that part work.
More of your calls. Art, great call. 831-0600. Talk radio, WBOB.
And if you are on the Intracoastal Waterway this morning, look out for a broken down truck eastbound. It's causing a backup that starts at around Hodges Boulevard at 95 South of University. A wreck there involving at least three cars. And if you're an I-10 headed toward downtown, plan on backup beginning at around.
Is your home for Kawasaki, Sea-Doo, Can-Am, and Polaris. And right now, is the time to buy. Take advantage of super low financing and rock bottom pricing on all motorcycles, personal watercraft, ATVs, and side-by-sides. For over 40 years, Jacksonville Power Sports has proudly served our community. Jacksonville Power Sports is located on Atlantic Boulevard, 1/2 mile west of 295. Check them out online at jacksonvillepowersports.com. That's jacksonvillepowersports.com.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Saturday, July 13th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. Saturday, July 13th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's the Riverside Arts Market under the Fuller Warren Bridge on Riverside Avenue. And Saturday, July 13th from 12 noon to 10 p.m. It's the Beach's Freedom Festival at the Seawalk Pavilion at Jacksonville Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Driving means
freedom,
exploration,
fun,
pride,
flexibility,
travel,
protection,
ability,
friendship,
escape,
independence.
Distracted driving means
danger,
recklessness,
irresponsible,
chaos,
police,
devastation,
injury,
tears, death.
Safe driving means staying alert and staying alive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
That's the sound of people throwing out their old dehumidifiers. They've replaced them with a computerized wave ventilation unit. Wave ventilation expels moisture, gases, and toxins that are trapped in your basement or crawl space and replaces it with drier, fresher air. Wave ventilation requires no maintenance. There are no buckets to empty or filters to change. And compared to a dehumidifier, it will save you hundreds of dollars each.
Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A timely tweet this morning from President Trump, who writes, "Happy 4th of July." Later today, Mr. Trump will deliver a speech at the Lincoln Memorial. That will come before a massive fireworks show on the National Mall. This year's Washington celebration will showcase America's military might, parades, concerts, and, of course, fireworks on tap today all across the country. Confusion continues to surround the 2020 census and the administration's push to include a citizenship question, something that the administration insists it is not giving up on, despite a setback at the Supreme Court. A setback for efforts to secure the southern border, an appeals court ruling the administration cannot use Pentagon funds to build the wall. The Trump administration is appealing. Wall Street closed today for Independence Day. More details at srnnews.com.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Congress set on voting to increase the federal minimum wage, is now pushing to increase the minimum wage for tipped employees. The U.S. economy sees its longest expansion in American history. And Democratic presidential contenders are doubling down on health care for illegal aliens.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB.
by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
So Michael sends me an email. He says, Ed, I agree with one of your recent callers. Gas stations has been doing self-service for many years, but it used to be full service. I responded, big difference. When you go to gas, you fill once a day. When you go to the restaurant, you're filling your plate, some of you I see, several times. And you got to get more than one glass of coffee, one more than one glass. So,
They used to wipe your windshields from what I, you know, remember
Mr. as a kid. Mr. Sandman.
Wipe your windshields.
Bring me, remember that from Marty McFly, Back to the Future?
Check your air pressure and your tire, all those movies.
Well, they still do it now. You got to do it at a different, I don't know, at the, by the way, you used to wash your, you don't need anybody else washing your car. By the way, would you rather have somebody wash your car or would you take it through? No, I know you take it through the drive-thru.
Drive-thru and then the place I get my oil.
Because that way you don't have to tip them.
Yeah, the oil change place washes mine.
831-0600. Let's go to line three. Go to Craig. Hey, brother, good morning.
Ed, Roger, how are you doing today?
Good morning.
Great.
By the way, I got my tip jar. Everyone who calls me, I want a 15% gratuity of a tip.
Yes. So one quick reference. You're on fire today with a Chris Hornsby reference and the Art of the Deal joke.
Bruce Hornsby. You're on fire today. Thank you, sir. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Okay. So I don't know if the waiters and waitresses are for this because I don't think they realize that if they're waiting on six customers an hour and they're getting a tip of, let's say, $7 for each one, that's $42 in an hour. So they're really going to be harming themselves if they go to a $15 an hour wage in the restaurant. Plus, I believe the gentleman that was talking about, you know, reconfiguring, you can do that with some restaurants. Obviously, Roots Chris, no. But there are some restaurants where you could just say, hey, I'm gonna fire off the wait staff. I'm going to hire a couple of servers, no tips. I'll pay them $15 an hour. They just bring you your food, and then you go get your own drink. So then you cut out the tip altogether. So if I'm eating at a restaurant and somebody's making $15 an hour, I'm not giving them a tip. I didn't even know they made $5 an hour. So you informed me.
Yeah, neither did I.
Here I am angsting over making sure I'm giving somebody 15 to 20% of a tip, and they're already making $5 an hour on me too. So I'm like,
And let me ask you, let me ask you a question. If you go to a coffee place or you go to like Subway, if I need a quick healthy sandwich, I don't have time. Which is rare, but I go to Subway, whatever. There's a tip jar out there. Sometimes I'll put a tip jar on out there. A lot of times it's not filled up. Does this mean that you're not a valuable customer because you won't put money in the tip jar? I just think some people think that if you believe that you've done a good enough service, let us tip you based on what we feel you deserve, not based on like you're some homeless guy handing out a bucket full of empty jars out there. You need to fill it with quarters.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody is at Subway, let's say, I mean, because we've eaten there sometimes because you do avoid a tip. I mean, but if somebody's giving me good service and they're talking to me and they're asking me what I want and being very caring, I might throw a couple bucks in the tip jar. So that becomes my choice at that point.
Right.
Versus a restaurant, somebody's bringing me food. And really, after the food is delivered, it's just coming by and checking on tea. I'm telling you, if you go to $15 an hour, these waiters are going to lose money.
I got to get going. You said something interesting. Let's say that you had six tables per hour. Let's say you only made three, which is as bad as it is. Let's say you only got tipped $3 per table. You're still making over 20-something bucks an hour. Now, here's the question. If you're making that amount of money, what about the income inequality? What about the chef in the back? What if the chef's only making $35,000, $40,000 a year?
That's right.
He should be making more. Does he need a tip jar? Hello, Democrats, income inequality. That means that if you're making $15 an hour, are you going to eliminate tipping overall?
Right. There's discrimination going on. If the more attractive waitress, you know, is making bigger tips than the lady who's not, you know, maybe as pretty, you know?
All really? That, you give more? I've never given tips based on that.
I never have. I'm not that kind of guy, but I'm pretty sure there are others.
I base it on the service out there. But having said that, because now what's going to have to happen is the dishwasher, does the prep cook, do they have to get a tip jar out there as well? Because now the server's making $15 an hour plus commission. What about the income inequality on that one? Let's go to David on line two. Hey, David, good morning.
Good morning, Ed. Hey, here's how I'm going to solve it. So
all right.
If they get paid $15 an hour and I'm there for an hour, I'm going to take $15 off that tip. If their tip doesn't come to $15 overall, then they won't get a tip. That's my look at it.
Wait. Did you understand that?
Yeah, I did. He's trying to basically, you know, meter his time.
So if I'm sitting in the restaurant for an hour and I have a server coming back and forth, and he's getting paid.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I mean, David, if they're not giving good service, is what you're saying?
Yeah, if I'm not getting exceptional service, I'm not. I'm going to take that $15 off their tip. You know, if I'm at Ruth Chris, then yeah, they probably would be getting a tip afterwards. But you know, if I'm at Roadhouse Grill, probably not.
Do you think it gives the server less of an incentive to work harder if they know they're automatically going to make $15 an hour, but the tips on its side may not be that much amount of money?
I agree. If everybody has that good server that goes out of the way, your drink never goes empty, and they have that good rapport and personality with you,
right.
I'll give them 20, even 25% if they're really
good. Wow.
But if they're... You know, just I rarely see them. My drink stays empty for a while, and I'm closer to the 10%.
Man, he's a baller. 25% of the tip?
Yeah.
831-0600. Before we get back to the calls, the longest economic expansion in U.S. history. That's right. 121 months started underneath Barack H. Obama. And my question to you at 831-0600, why should not former President Obama be given any type of credit for the economy out there? Why shouldn't he get any of this here?
And it sort of continued after President Obama.
Donald Trump, despite his inauguration speech talking about doom and gloom, he inherited a quite healthy economy, and President Obama should take credit for that.
So when folks talk right now about, oh, the economy is doing so well, where do you think that started?
All right, so there's the question I'd like to ask you. Cannot President Obama be given any type of credit? The recovery did happen under Obama. The recession did not happen because of Obama. Should he not be given any type of credit for the economic expansion? Yes, no, partial. Give me the reasons why you don't think he deserves credit, or give me some reasons why you do believe he does deserve the credit. Line one, Johnny. Johnny, good morning. What's happening?
Good morning. Yeah, Obama needs a lot of credit for not doing as much damage as he could have done. Also, you didn't understand that?
It's a joke, isn't it?
No, you know, compare the Obama economy with the Jimmy Carter economy. Come on.
I was giving him credit for not doing more damage like Obamacare and all the regulations. So there have been a lot more regulations. So that's what I meant. Sorry, it was a bad joke. But the Trump, here's the comparison, Trump versus Obama. Record after record broken to the upside. Obama, record after record broken to the downside. And, you know, GDP growth being capped, what was it, below 3%. Record after record on the upside is no comparison. Trump gets all the credit, in my view, but, you know, Obama, he was there. He was there.
Okay. So Johnny said, some people may agree, so Johnny says that he was there. He was a stick figure.
Mm-hmm.
He just there. He was just placed. So, I mean, remember, the recovery happened under Obama. Does he? I don't agree with that. I don't think it was a joke. I think if the Democrats would have stayed in power, you would have seen more regulation. I think it was bad enough with the regulations we've seen. All right? Of course, he's taking credit for, you know, all the other economic expansion. For example, drilling on private lands. Oh, we got all this export of oil. That was private lands. It had nothing to do with anything the federal government had involved. That was done under the Bush years. Say, unfortunately, we have to explain these economic factors because the left just takes them out of context. Let's go to line three. Let's go to Dave. Hey, Dave, good morning. How are you?
Good, Ed. Just curious what you think of my take on the minimum wage.
Okay.
I'm a little suspect when Congress, not that I think it's a bad thing that they're doing it, but when they move to make this kind of a change, I think it's to shift service staff earnings from the tip jar to the paycheck so that they could grab more
Taxable
income.
They need that money for health care.
Dave, hold on. Dave, you know what? Some people
out
would,
of the park.
Man, you knocked it into, wow, what a great, I never even thought about, and I usually am on top of this. That is a great point. For the audience, Dave, in English, I don't want to take any thunder away from you. Explain to the audience what you mean by this.
Well, there's a lot of unreported income when you're getting it in cash.
That's right.
In the form of a tip, as opposed to getting it on your paycheck.
So in other words, if they're automatically are getting $15 an hour, then of course they got to pay into FICA taxes and then income, and so there'd be more money for the feds.
That's right.
Dave, I like the way you think.
And the new universal health care taxes we're going to get hit with.
Yeah, I got to pay for reparations too, Dave, so we may have to go to $20 an hour.
Hey, all the way.
All right, Dave, I like the way you think. I was a little slow today. I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
That's why I leave it to you guys to bring up all the elements up a little bit higher. 831-0600, Rusty. Hey, Rusty, you're on WBOB. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, Ed, Roger.
Hey, good morning, sir.
Yeah, I'm talking about the tips.
Yeah.
I saw one of the funniest series ever on Third Rock. And the TV show, Dick, one of the aliens there, what he would do was put a stack of ones on the table and say, this is your tip. And for every mistake they would make, he would take one of those ones and stuff it back in his pocket again. So
I like that.
It was a tip of deduction.
I like that. Hey, Rusty, have you ever, do you ever go out to eat? Where do you go? I mean, if it was a regular place, where would you go?
Yeah, I go locally, seafood houses and things like that. And typically I'll tip by the number. Say, even if it's a $16 meal or something like that, I'll put $4 on there. You
okay,
know?
So and, but Rusty, think about it for a second. Have you ever sit back, you ever notice that you just, let's say you just got there and the restaurant just opened up and the server's got a bill full of $1. I mean, you're sitting going, man, you guys just opened up. Where'd you get the 51s? I wonder if that's something to sit back and mentally, it's almost like a Jedi mind trick, Rusty. Hey, I give good service, so give me good tips.
Yeah, well, it's pretty quick to see if they'll give good service. And I was just speaking to someone about that. Customer service in general, if you walk in and sit down and they don't give you any eye contact and you sit there several minutes, you just wonder if you've been noticed. But if they just walk by and they say, sir, I see you're here, and I've got one more drink ahead of you, I'll be right with you, then you know that they've seen you. You know, you've been acknowledged. So,
interesting. I think about this for a second. 831-0600. If you – now, I'm not a drinker, but I know the restaurant business a little bit. Has some family members that have run them. My brother's been very successful running restaurants. That the – server has to tip money out. I would assume the bartender. I don't know. I mean, depending on the drinks and the busboys and things like that. So let me play devil's advocate. Why not jack it to $15 an hour? Then you got more money. Well, guess what? The dishwasher would make more money. Oh, by the way, tell the chef the meal was good. We throw them a few bucks. I mean, some of people have already been emailing me that this morning. Hey, we could redistribute the wealth. Redistribute the wealth out
right.
there. How do you guys like that one? How do you like that one, Roger?
Who really deserves the tip at a restaurant? The cook who really made the great meal? Or the
What about the hostess? She's not making it. You're going to swap her a couple of ones
exactly.
as well? Maybe that's what we should do. Then see how many people advocate raising that.
First world problems.
831-0600. Let's go to you. Is it Kian? Hey, Kian, good morning.
Hi. Yeah, this is Kian. I had a comment about whether or not President Obama or Trump is responsible for the boom we have for our economy.
All right.
I actually believe that a president is a benefit or a detriment of the economy, not the other way around. Like the hearts and minds of millions of people and how they feel the animal spirits of the economy is actually, you know, the president takes credit for one way or the other.
Or not the other, obviously, if it's negative. But so when it comes to saying, or Trump is responsible for this boom, it's actually the economy is its own animal. They're just fractional in terms of how they influence it.
I don't know if I would agree with that.
I kind of agree with him. I believe, for example, OPEC has more control over the U.S. economy than any president.
Okay, that's conspiratorial talk. That's not true. Having said that,
really?
I like it. Yes. How does OPEC have all the? How does OPEC control GDP?
OPEC determines what we put in our how much money it takes to fill the car up to get to work.
Yeah, but OPEC doesn't always. There's people that take that walk to service industry to eat there. OPEC doesn't have any control over that.
Small minority of the nation.
So okay, OPEC has the total control of the economy.
I've never said total. I said have more control.
Okay, more control. Okay, more control would be the majority. What? Tell me what backs that up.
Has more control. OPEC has more control. More, not all. More control than a president would.
I don't think so. Does OPEC drop the stock market?
No, does the president?
Yeah, his comments about trade have. When he talks about trade tariff wars. Yeah. Roger, how many times, as much as I enjoy the president, as much as I enjoy his views, the president has said comments about tariffs that which dropped the market 600 points.
Okay.
I mean, we just got to call it the way it is. Having said that, I would differ with the caller, and I would differ with you on this issue, because legislation has an impact on your back pocket, for better or for worse. Tax cuts put more money in your back pocket. We see more revenues coming in. Tax increases kind of slow it down. So I'm just giving you guys a heads up there. Tax. So I don't. Well, it's just the spirit of the American worker. I'm sorry, folks. That's too general of the magic wand to wave. There are specifics in the economy. If the economy's doing well, why is it? What's driving it? Well, the American ingenuity. No, if you got a tax cuts and write-offs, that drives American ingenuity to do more. 831-0600 Talk Radio WBOB.
On 995 South at University Boulevard.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. You know, we've been in business here in Florida since 1928. And if you asked what's been the most important part of our history and what will be the most important part of Underwood's future, the answer is the same thing for both. Our honesty and integrity. Our founder, H.F. Underwood, had a favorite saying, "Know the truth and tell the truth." That's why we're the longest standing member of the American Gem Society in Florida, because we know that you have to have the knowledge about gemstones before you can tell the truth about gemstones. As a result, we've continued educating our staff through the Gemological Institute of America and the American Gem Society. In fact, today, Underwoods has the largest American Gem Society credentialed staff of professionals east of the Mississippi River. So come by and see why we're looking forward to the future and let one of our credentialed professionals take care of you. At Underwoods, San Marco, Avondale, or the shops of Ponte Vedra.
Hi, this is Ed Dean, along with Roger Henderson. Our dear friend, Teresa Ross, is leading a group of friends from the radio station on a tour of the Holy Land this fall, and you are invited to join her on this trip of a lifetime.
Imagine seeing the places we read about in the Bible, visiting the Garden of Gethsemane, getting baptized in the Jordan River, the same river where Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and visiting the city of Jerusalem.
Thanks, guys. I'd love for you to come with me to the Holy Land in late October. Our tour will be professionally guided by Christian Expedition. It goes from October 28th through November 6th, a 10-day trip there in Israel. And they're going to show us all the important sites, explain their significance, answer our questions, as we experience the land of the Bible. If you want to find out more about that, all you have to do is call this number right now, 904-831-TRIP, 904-831-TRIP. I really hope you can go.
Hi, my name is Ashley. I grew up in a household that struggled with addiction. By the age of 12, I was using drugs. From there on, my issues grew and grew. I had lost my apartment, my job, and my son. I was in a bad place, but luckily my aunt and her friend brought me to the City Rescue Mission. I've been in the Life Builders Recovery Program for 7 months now, and the way I look at life is completely different. I didn't know the meaning of even being a Christian until I got here. If it weren't for CRM, I wouldn't be getting my 3-year-old son back in a few months once I have graduated the Life Builders Program. I am just so thankful and blessed and excited for what the future holds.
I'm Penny Kivett, Executive Director for the City Rescue Mission. The summer months here in Jacksonville are especially brutal for our homeless neighbors and friends struggling on the streets. Would you consider helping us transform lives? Visit us at crmjax.org to learn more or make a donation to help others who are hungry, homeless, and addicted.
A hot and muggy day today, but we may get some rain to cool us off by the afternoon. 96 will be the high. This evening, partly cloudy with a low of 78. Right now, it is 80 here at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9 this morning. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
We got a few more minutes. I wanted to squeeze in some more calls. So some of you that want to chime in, always enjoy hearing from you. 831-0600. Stephanie, hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Hey, good. Thanks for calling in.
Great.
Thanks. Okay, so I want to talk about both things. Number one, tips. I was a waitress for a while, and, you know, I made, I think, like $3 an hour. So I busted my butt for that $3, but I expected, you know, higher tips from the people I was serving. If I had gotten paid $15 an hour, I wouldn't have expected any tips. So if it goes up to $15 an hour, I'm not tipping anything, because my son's a mechanic and he works on your car for $15 an hour and nobody tips him. So I got to say, for you to bring me my food, I'm not going to give you any more money.
All right.
The economy. Okay, the economy. I would ask myself to figure out who's responsible for the boom in the economy. I ask myself one question. Who's responsible for more jobs? President Obama took jobs away from the United States of America and also said they wouldn't come back. And President Trump proved him wrong, brought them back, and has added an astronomical amount of more jobs than Obama did. So I got to say, people making more money, they're going to spend more money. More people making money, more money is going to be spent. On top of that, our new tax thing, you guys talking about tax cuts and stuff, let's just talk about the tax law. You get more money throughout the year instead of waiting for it to come to you in February or March when you've, you know, filed your taxes earlier. So you're spending all year instead of that one time in February that you can afford to go buy a new television. Now right. You can afford to buy more throughout the year.
Yeah, you make an interesting point. If I may add on to it, she says, look at the industry you're in. If you're in the manufacturing service, I mean, if you're in the service industry, it's always got, in many cases, depending on the weather, depending on what people's spending may be. But she says, if you break it down by certain industry, mm-hmm. maybe you can judge it that way as well. But I got to tell you something, Stephanie, I was playing golf with some friends over the weekend and various school teachers, and they bragged about, well, we got less money from our tax return this year. How many deductions did you claim? Zero. Man, I'm like, folks, you can get more money. Why are we, this mentality that we have, and I'm not yelling at the people who are great I was playing golf with, shot in the low 70s, by the way, all 18, not in the back nine. But what I'm saying is, right, is that we still have this mentality, oh, I want Uncle Sam to give me more money. And I'm just, oh, my word, the financial literacy that needs to be taught with families in our schools today. 54 minutes after 8 a.m., Talk Radio, WBOB.
I-95 South at University Boulevard. There's been a wreck there. Several cars are involved, and we do see backup. If you're on I-10 headed toward town, expect slowdown beginning at Cassett and 295 North from 9B to Bay Meadows Road. Traffic.
Welcome, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey on his birthday. Because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Just look at the news. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless. And I'm not just talking about obvious things like campfires or letting your totally sweet nephew Francis play with matches. I'm talking about dumping your used barbecue coals willy-nilly or parking your car on tall, dry grass. That can lead to poof. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. But listen, being a South Carolinian, I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous, deciduous, or new car scented. So if you love the outdoors like me, go to smokeybear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention, because fire safety is always in season. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You're busy, so let Z-Best Original Tuna's Restaurant at 7400 103rd Street help out. Z-Best Tuna's Restaurant just west of I-295 offers dine-in or takeout. The original Kronos Euros, oysters, shrimp, fish, wings, and more. It's all at Z-Best Original Tuna's Restaurant. A pound of gizzards or livers is just $4.99, 30 jumbo shrimp for only $9.99. Check out the new Sidewinder fries. Special discounts for military, first responders, and school employees. Z-Best Original Tuna's Restaurant, 7400 103rd Street, open 7 days a week. See us on Facebook at ZBest The Original.
I can give you a brand new kitchen in days, not weeks, not months. Hi, I'm Jeff Martin from Martin Appliance and Greystone Kitchens with my secret formula for your new kitchen. Quick and easy and economical. 90% of new cabinets today are painted. Modern colors, crisp and clean. 90% of new countertops are granite or quartz. Impeccably stylish, incredibly functional. Our secret? We swap your counters and refinish your cabinets to the color of your choice at a fraction of the cost. None of the hassle. And done in days. Call Greystone Kitchens at 213-9100 for your secret solution. Come see us on Phillips Highway across from Regal Cinema. That's Greystone Kitchens and Martin Appliance. New kitchen, new appliances. And if you want new cabinets, I can do that too. I'm a licensed contractor, for crying out loud. Florida State License CGC 1526479.
What you see is what you get. Martin Appliance Family.
Are you tired of pre-recorded financial shows that try to scare you into buying annuities and life insurance products? I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee. Together we host the Van Wee Financial Hour, live every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Van Wee Financial is a fee-only financial planning and asset management company here on Florida's First Coast.
We bring you current financial information and analysis without the scare tactics.
Most of all, we answer your financial and investing questions live on the air.
Tune into the Van Wee Financial Hour and call us every Saturday morning at 10 right here on AM 600 and FM 101.1 WBOB.
Partly cloudy today. It's going to be hot and humid, but by afternoon we are expecting some rain to roll in. 96 degrees will be the high. This evening there's a 1 in 5 chance of rain. 78 degrees will be the low, and right now it is 80 here at WBOB.
What another busy show lined up, and I'm always thankful to all of you that tune in. I always enjoy hearing both sides, opposition, pro and con. The whole minimum wage thing, I just find this is a fascinating story because it has a major impact on people's back pockets, not indirect, but directly. And I think people are just ticked off by saying, wait a second, you know, if people aren't making more money, why is it my fault? Why do I have to pay more money? I get the argument. So, and great discussion about the economy. A lot of emails about whether or not Obama gets the current. It's just a fascinating debate. So, hey, I'm thankful to God every day for the radio show. Always thankful to all of you that tune in. A busy day. You can always email me. I always enjoy reading your views, your responses. I always will get back to you as soon as I can. The email address, ed@wbob.com. In fact, if you want to say hi to Roger, I always forwarded him as well, especially when you say Roger's right. ed@wbob.com, ed@wbob.com. Don't forget this show, other shows throughout the day, also on the weekend. Catch them on your smartphones, your Android phones. Just go to the website, download the app. It is free. There are no pop-ups, no monthly cost. Just go to WBOB.com. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. This is Talk Radio WBOB.
Questions. We have answers. WBOB, the answer.
Countless victims of human trafficking walk among us, invisible until now. The Blue Campaign provides a unified voice for those who work to combat human trafficking. It's time to open our eyes. Learn what you can do by visiting dhs.gov/bluecampaign.